Here. Appreciate the church. Appreciate the teaching. You have to teach these little ones, like I said, you start them out early, teaching them. A lot of times they're getting up not knowing for sure even what they're doing, but don't really make any difference. You know, I mean, if they're saying the right thing, a lot of little ones running around doing all kinds of stuff, don't know what they're doing, and they're saying the wrong things. Amen. So if we're saying the right things, well, it means something. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 10 and 12. I'm going to read in 12 first. Psalms chapter 12 and chapter 10. Then we're going to be going back over to Matthew. Back over to Matthew chapter 7. We'll try to bring you a little different type of message here this morning on a nursery rhyme. Speaking to these little kids. Got all kind of little nursery rhymes, you know. And you get thinking about it, every story that man comes up with really is in the Bible somewhere. And we're going to look at this one. It's in here too. Might have to change something just a little bit, but it works out pretty good. They change it the wrong way, so we'll just change it back and make it right. Okay, in Psalms chapter 12, notice verse number 5. It says, "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him." Now notice what he's saying. He's talking about he's going to arise. Somebody, he's going to help some folks out that is oppressed. Going to help people out that's sighing and that's poor. And he's going to rise and he's going to bring them to safety because somebody is puffing at them. Now look back there at chapter 10, if you will. Back at chapter 10. And we'll see this again, a little bit more of it. Chapter 10, there in verse number 2 says, "The wicked in his pride does persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesses the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. For as all his enemies, he puffeth at them." So what he's doing, he's going after his enemies, and his enemies, of course, is us. That's what he's after. He's boasting about himself. His heart's desire is bad. He's blessing the wrong ones. The ones that God hates is the ones that he blesses. And what he's doing, he's puffing at them. In other words, he's blowing. He's blowing at them, trying to blow them down. So I'm going to try to bring you a message this morning on the, I'm changing a little bit, on the two little pigs and the big bad wolf. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us this morning, Lord, as we look at your word. Have your way, Lord, bring about the things in our mind that needs to be said. We will help the people. And I pray, Father, that they'll realize that the big bad wolf is out there ready to blow them down and destroy them, and they're going to have their house built right to keep it from crumbling. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just touch the hearts that's needed and help them, Lord, to see what you're trying to get across today. We'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 7, where we see two houses being built, I want to look at these two houses that's being built. So we got these two little pigs here that's both of them building a house. And you know how the story goes. There's three of them in it, but we're going to use two. Now you could use three houses. You could use the house that you're building in down here, your home, and your home is important to you, or should be. And you could use the other house that you're interested in is your church, and it should be important to you also. And the other house, of course, that you're building, it you could say, even though you're not building, is your heavenly home, because it's important what you send up there as material. Amen. But we're going to mainly deal with these two. And if you look here in Matthew chapter 7, let's read this, and then we'll kind of try to elaborate somewhat on this. You get in your mind, and you can get in your mind if you want to, about the little cartoon, about the little piggies building their house, and about the big bad wolf coming by and blowing on it. And we're going to be dealing with some of that as we're looking through this message here today. And let's look here at Matthew chapter 7, start here at verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, now notice he's telling them something, he's preaching and showing them a message, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew. Notice the wind blows, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, now notice both of them heard the sayings, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So first of all, you could ask yourself, is your house upon the rock? I mean, is it built upon the rock? The foundation of the house is very important to start with. That's what you start is with the foundation. If the foundation's not right, the house is not going to be right. Now, there's all kind of foundations that's messed up and wrong. And a lot of these foundations, they're religious foundations, but they don't amount to anything. And they're going to crumble after a while. And they may stand for a long time, and they may look good, and they may look solid, and they may prosper the people for quite a while. But after a while, the thing's going to crumble and fall. That's just the way it is. The only one that's going to stand is the sure foundation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the foundation, of course, is the blood that Jesus Christ shed at Calvary's cross for you and I. That's the only one that's going to stand, brother. And if you're not built upon that, I mean, you can be built upon your works, you can be built upon some religion, you can be built upon keeping the commandments, you can be built on your baptism, you know, your sacraments. It don't make any difference what it is. I mean, any way to go to hell, you can go to hell any way you want to. It don't make any difference. But there's just one way to go to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if your foundation's wrong to start with, the house is not going to stand. It's not going to stand, you see. One of these here was built up on a rock, and others built up on sand. Now, sand can be real hard. I mean, it'll pack down, and I mean, it'll pack real good. But then after a while, it's going to crumble, brother. But the rock, I mean, it'll stay there. Amen. Now, if you want to deal with houses in general, I mean, the Lord started this building the first house with Adam and Eve. He set the thing up. Man today has messed it up so bad, you know, he don't even know what's what. And God established it. God made a man, and God made a woman, and God put them together, and he said, you multiply and replenish the earth. That's what God said. And that's the way it's supposed to be done. And that's the way it's been done as far as the right part of it all through these centuries. It's been done that way. And now then, you know, they got all these funnies running around out here and these men to men and women to women and all this stuff running around adopting kids, you know, and raising the kids. Can you imagine what that poor kid is going to turn out to be? Raised by a couple of something like that. What a shame. They ought to take both of them out and just shoot them. You say, well, man, that's going to be on the radio. Yeah, they ought to take them both out and shoot them. Exactly what they ought to do. And it's a shame, folks. I mean, sin is sin. And the house, their house may stand for a while. And, I mean, after all, the government's behind them. And after all, you know, it's lawful, isn't it? I mean, just because it's lawful, you know, I mean, does that make it right? No, it's still sin. God says it's sin. And it don't make any difference. You take both of these fellas right here, both of them was building a house. And they both heard the same instructions. They both got the same blueprint. Amen. You say, well, I don't have a blueprint. Well, go out and buy you a good King James 1611 Bible, and you'll have a blueprint. Amen. And open it up and read what God says. You'll have the blueprint of how to build it. You want to build a house right? Just read Proverbs and a whole lot of other places, but read Proverbs every month. And it'll show you a whole lot of things to do that's right. And it'll show you a whole lot of things not to do that's wrong. Amen. And building your house and raising your children. Amen. So, we see here that they both heard the same instructions, and they both started on building their house. Amen. Now, one starts building his wall. Once he's got his foundation right, he starts building his wall, you know, by faith and by obedience and by Bible reading and by praying with his family and by going to church and by being faithful and faithful to support the church and support God's work and all these things. You know, he starts putting up these petitions around and he prays over every brick. And I mean, you know, he's interested in having everything just exactly right. Amen. He don't want nothing wrong. He don't want nothing out of place. He don't have no rotten material. He don't want anything in there that's going to mess the thing up, you see. Now, you may be building a house just as a single person. You might be building one as just a couple, you know, I have children. You might be building one as a family with children. Don't make any difference. Either way, the house is important. It's important for you, however it is. And it's important, if it just messes up you, then you're messed up. If it messes up your wife, then she's messed up. If it don't mess them up, if it messes up your children in that sense, then they're messed up. You see, so you got to have the thing right. Amen. You got to make sure that it's right, especially if you got some children involved in this thing. Because listen, the big bad wolf is going to come around. The wind is going to blow, brother. You can rest assured of that. It may be peaceful for a while, and things may look pretty good for a while, you know, and everything going pretty smooth, but after a while, the wind's going to blow. Amen. Trouble is going to come. So here you are, you're going around, you know, and you're building this stuff, you see, and here's this guy that's building his, and he's putting up these boards, and he's got maybe one there that's rotten. But it don't look too bad, you know. I mean, it's got rotten places in it, you know, but after all, it don't look too bad. And part of it's good, at least outside of it maybe is good. You know, it's got some rotten place here in the middle, but after a while, you know, all these good boards around it, why, it's still going to be okay. I mean, just because you got a little rotten place here and all this, and the good around it, after all, the good's going to make the bad good, right? No. It don't work that way. I mean, you take a box of apples or something, and all of them looks real good, and you pull them all out, and you've got one rotten, and put him right in there in the middle, and cover him up good with all them good ones, and now you got a box of real nice, good apples, and set them over there for a few days. After all, I mean, you got just got one little bitty rotten one down here in the middle. I mean, what can he do amongst all them good apples? I mean, he surely can't do nothing. All them good apples is going to conquer him. You can rest assured, right? You wait a few days or about a week and start prowling down in there. Almost the whole box will be rotten. Now, see, you say, well, that just works with apples. No, no. No, that works with just about everything. I told you the story once, I think, about my squirrels. And some of you probably didn't hear it or don't remember it, but when I was a boy, I mean, I was an old boy. And I mean, we done everything that boys does. And I used to catch squirrels, and I'd catch these squirrels. I clumb like a monkey. And, you know, I could climb these trees, and I'd find these squirrels in squirrel nest, you know, in the springtime there, and I'd get these little squirrels. And I'd raise them squirrels, you know, make a pet out of them. You can make a pet out of a squirrel. You can't rabbit. I've tried rabbits. You know, they'll die on you. But a squirrel, you know, you can make a... I've tried everything. I mean, I've done little groundhogs, even skunks. We had a guy that knew how to fix the skunks. I had skunks. I had everything, you know. I was a boy. But anyway, squirrels, I had some squirrels one time, and I had these two, and I'd made me a cage, wore a cage, and I had these two squirrels. And I got them when they was just real little and raised them on my sister's little doll bottles. You know, put them milk in there, you know, raised them squirrels, and boy, they'd eat that stuff. They grew up, and they was about half grown. And I'd put a peanut in my pocket or something, you know, and I'd stick my hand, open that cage, stick my hand in there, and a squirrel jump on that thing. He'd run out and run up here, you know, and run down in there and get that peanut, come out and run up here and sit on my shoulder and eat that peanut, you know. I mean, I thought, man, this is all right, you know. It was funny, and it was nice doing. And one day, me and two or three guys was out, and we found these squirrels in this hole in this tree, and they was about half grown. And one old boy's clung up there and got them out, and he'd pitch them out, and he'd pitch them out, and we'd grab them, catch them. There's about four squirrels, I think, that's four of us guys. And each one, no, it may have been four or five squirrels, I don't remember. But anyway, I caught one of them down there, and I got him, you know, and that rascal bit me on the thumb. I got him around like this, you know, and he nailed me right through here on this side and hung on. I mean, he was nailed on there. I had to choke him to death to get him loose. I mean, they're mean. I choked him plumb to death. I choked him off, you know, and finally got him off my hand. And I got one of them and took him home. I thought, I'll tame this guy. So I take him home, you see, and he's about the same size as my two pet ones. So I put him in the cage with him. And I'd use a glove part of the time, you know. I'd put a glove on sometimes, especially when I was filled with one like this, because I'd been bit a lot of times before. I mean, just the next day now, I go back in there and I'm thinking, I mean, after all, I've got two in here that's real friendly and nice. And they know I'm their daddy. I'm the one that raised them. I'm the one that took care of them. And as far as they're concerned, I'm it. I'm the one that feeds them. I'm the only one they know. They don't know nothing about no mom or daddy squirrel or nothing. And, you know, they figure, well, he's it. I mean, they got to think like that, right? But here comes one of their kind in there with them. And they've had all night to discuss this thing. Amen. And they've talked the whole situation over. And this guy here from the outside has told them a bunch of stuff that they didn't know. Amen. It's just like Eve, you know. She knew the good, but she didn't know the bad. And my two knew the good, but they didn't know the bad. Now then, the next day, they know the bad. Amen. You say, oh, it's not that way. Oh, yeah, it's that way, brother. It's that way. I walked in there that morning, stuck my hand in that cage, and all three of them attacked me. Amen. Now, you imagine that now. Just in one day, he convinced both of them, when he sticks that hand in here tomorrow, here's what we're going to do. And here's what they done. I mean, all three of them latched on. Now listen, you put a rotten board in there. I mean, you see what it does. You let some corrupt thing in your family, and you see what it does to your family. Amen. You say, well, we'll just cover it up. It'll come out. Amen. After a while, it's not going to stay covered up. The problem is these folks out here that has heard the right thing, they're in a church, they know what the Lord says, but they react different. These two little pigs here heard the same message, but they reacted to the same message differently. Amen? One of them said, I'll tell you what, little piggy, I'm going to make mine out of brick. I'm going to fill in every crack. I'm going to make this thing solid. And little Oscar on the other side said, it don't make any difference. Mine will be just as sturdy as yours when we get done. I'm going to use just wood, hay, and stubble. That's what I'm going to use. I'm going to use some wood. I'm going to cram a crack full of hay and stubble. And I'm going to fill in all this stuff. And everything, there ain't not going to be no wind get through this. When I get done, mine will be just as sturdy as yours. Amen? They heard the same message. They know to fix the thing right. The Lord plainly says right here, He says, listen to what I tell you to do, He says. Amen. And He says, now if you build it right, it'll stand. He says, listen, the rain's going to come, and the wind is going to come. And He told both of them the very same thing. And He said, when it comes now, you're going to be tested. You see, there's a difference in everything being right and everything being right, and neither one of them has faced a test yet. The problem is when the test comes. We was talking here on Wednesday night, I think, and I was teaching on this thing, on something else. They're talking about perfection and perfect over there in the Hebrews. And where Jesus Christ, you know, became perfect there, the perfect of salvation. See, perfect doesn't always mean sinless. And you take Adam, see, was perfect. Was he not perfect? God made him perfect, right? And Christ, of course, was perfect. Amen? As the second Adam, right? All right. Both of them then hadn't been tested until they was tested. What happened when the test come? See, there's the difference. It's when the test come and how you come through the test and the trial. It's the same way with these houses that you're building, folks. You're building a house right now, and it may be okay right now. Things may be going along pretty smooth right now. And problems is really not hitting right now. But the test is going to come. Amen? And when the wind blows, what's going to happen then? See, when the test come to Adam, his house fell. Amen? When it came to Christ, his stood. There's the difference for us. We know we're going to be, everybody's tested. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ was tested. You're not going to get through this life, like the brother's talking about this morning, about suffering. You're not going to get through this life without some trials and temptations either, brother. You're just not going to make, everything's not always going to be right. Everything's not always going to be smooth. Amen. I taught my kids growing up, I taught them, I said, look, you might as well know right now that life is not fair. It's not fair. Go ahead and teach your children. Life is not fair. It's not going to always treat you right. And the world out there doesn't owe you anything. And you're going to have trouble because the wind's going to blow. Every disciple in here got tested. Even on the times that God sent them somewhere to do something. When He sent them across the waters, whatever else, the storms come, and them right in the middle of doing what God said to do. The storm still blowed, right? The storm's going to blow, folks. The big bad wolf is going to be around. And what it says over in Psalms 12 and 10 there, it talks about He puffeth at them. I mean, He makes a big wind inside and blows it out. Amen. And when He blows it out, something's going to happen unless God intervenes. Or unless you've got the thing settled and got it down right. Amen. So, getting back to these two pigs. All right. Both of these fellers, both of these little piggies, realized the need to have a house. They realized we need a place when the wind comes. They believed, I think they really believed that the wind was going to come. The big bad wolf's coming. He's going to come by and he's going to blow. So you better have some place to get behind. So they both realized there's a need to build a house. Amen. And both of them then made an effort. to build a house. Amen. They put forth an effort. So to start with the thing, you see, when they're starting, they both heard the message. They both believed the message. They reacted to the message differently. But even at that, both of them saw the need to build the house. And both of them made the effort to start building the house. Amen. So far, so good. Amen. Until the trial comes. Amen. And I believe that both of them is confident that their house is going to stand. Now this one little piggy that's building this house of wood, hay, and stubble, he is looking the thing over and he's thinking, you know, that looks pretty good. I'm really not too bad. You know, I'm really a pretty good guy. I've not really done too much stuff to cause me problems. It's like I heard this thing the other day, if it's true, I don't know where it's true or not. But I heard this where somebody had interviewed Donald Trump on salvation, religion, or something like this. Somebody had asked him, said, is there a time in your life that you've ever realized that you sinned and done wrong and asked the Lord to save you? And from the report that I got, if it's true, he said, well, I never have realized in no time in my life that I've done anything wrong that I needed to repent of. True or not, there's a lot of folks thinks that way. Amen? Where he does or not, I don't know. But there's a lot of folks that's in the position that guy's in, and the position that them folks is in that is real high class and a lot of money and no problems and all that kind of stuff, you know, they feel that way. Amen. And so I believe this little piggy here felt that way. I believe that he felt like my house here is just as good as your house is over there. He'll stand just as good as your house will stand. Amen. I mean, you take your religion and I'll take mine. I believe that's what he thought. And that's probably what he said. He said, mine looks just as good as yours. And besides, I mean, the sun's shining. I don't see a cloud in the sky. And we're not got a thing to worry about right now. Everything's going good. Yeah, but you see, things changes. So I believe he had confidence. And you see, he's sort of like Paul in the Bible. And Paul had confidence that he was right when he was destroying Christians and having them put in jail and murdering them and killing them and all this kind of stuff. Paul was confident that he was right. He was sincere in what he was doing. And I talk to folks that, listen, as long as you're sincere in what you believe, you're going to be okay. Now, is that right? No, that's not right. But these people that believes that, they've got confidence in their sincerity. And as long as they're sincere, and Paul plainly brings that out himself after he gets saved, and explains and says, look, I was sincere, but I was sincerely wrong. Amen. And there's all kinds of folks today that are as sincere as they can be. I mean, you take somebody that will strap a bomb on them and walk in among somebody and kill them, they've got to be sincere, brother. I mean, they are real sincere. And they just go to hell that way, faster than if they'd waited till the Lord sent them on to hell later. Amen. Sincerity. He had confidence. Amen. And then finally then, both of them is exposed to the testing. Because, see, the testing is going to come. Finally, the testing does come. So both of them is exposed. So when the wind blows in your direction, and listen to me, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it will blow in your direction. Amen. I mean, death will come in your immediate family. There's no way of getting around it. unless the rapture takes place right away. He will come in your immediate family. Your mother, your daddy, your wife, your husband, your children, your sister, brother, somebody in your family, death is going to get them. And you'll still be here. So the wind's going to blow. Amen. Now how's it going to be then? The wind's going to hit. It's going to blow. Sometimes things is going pretty good, you know. You're feeling real good one day. And the next day, you know, you just feel awful. You just don't. Said, man, something's just not right. I just don't feel right. And you go, you know, and you get checked out, and the doctor says, well, I'm sorry to tell you this. Says, but you're eat up inside. I can't do a thing for you. Well, I mean, I've been feeling good. Well, yeah, but the wind's blowing now. Amen. The testing is coming now. So you don't talk about stuff like that. Hey, we're talking about reality in life. Amen. We ain't talking about no fable out here where you just dream everything's going to be great and it's going to be great. You can't make it happen that way. Amen. You take whatever comes. And when it comes to these two little piggies, the one on this side and the one on this side, they both got exposed to the big bad wolf because he comes by and he says, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. Amen. And over in Psalms it says he puffed and he blowed. Amen. And he was a blowing against everything that was right if you read them verses. That's what he's a blowing against. See, this little pig and the bad wolf, this thing come out of the Bible. They just didn't know it probably when they made the thing up. But it come out of here anyway. So they both got this thing, you see. And it don't make a difference where you put the thing at. I mean, you can put the thing on Christians. You can put it on Paul on the ship there in Acts 28. And you can put it on the houses in the Bible. You can put it anywhere you want to, you know. But look, it's going to happen. Now, if you look back over here in verse number 15 here in Matthew 7, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So what you've got here, see, he's talking about sheep and wolves. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the sheep and the wolves, or the little piggies and the wolves. So, and you hear you've got these sheep, that's what we are. We're called sheep. And it says here we got to beware because these false prophets, they come to us. And you see, they're dressed real nice. And they're dressed just like you are. It says, you see, come to you in sheep's clothing. They dress just like you are. They're dressed real good. They look real good. They're cleaned up, you know. And they got their hair fixed just right, got their suit on, you know. But inwardly, they're not sheep at all. Inwardly, they're wolves. Amen? That's just the way the thing turns out to be. Look right over here in chapter 10, Matthew here. Look at a verse right over here in chapter 10. And he tells us here in chapter 10 of Matthew in verse 16, it says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now right here he's saying, we'll go ahead and get the rest of the verse. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now we've got four animals in this verse. We've got sheep and wolves and serpents and doves. And what he's talking about here, he's talking about he's the one that sends you forth amongst the wolves. So we see here that God is not protecting you all the time from the wolves. And we see also here that you're not always to even act like a sheep. Sometimes you've got to act like a serpent. Amen? That's what it says. It says, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Now, there's other times you've got to act like a dove. sometimes you act like a sheep, and sometimes you act like a serpent, and sometimes you act like a dove. But where you're located at is in wolf country. Amen. And them wolves now is not always visible. Because I just read you the verse back over there to where they're dressed up just like a sheep. And so you don't always notice that they're wolves. So you better have some smarts. That's why he says wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And like one old color feller said, he says about four serpents to a dove. You know. And says, what you got to do is you better have some wisdom, he says, and not be running around like a little dove. You're liable to get eaten. Amen. And you are, because the big bad wolf is blowing. And he's out to get you. And he's out to destroy you. And you say, well, I'm strong enough, I think I can handle it. Maybe. Maybe you can. I've talked to families that has left churches that I pastored over the years, and many different ones that had kids and took them with them. And I've told them, I said, and they'll say, well, we'll make it all right. And I said, well, maybe you will, and I hope you do. And I hope all your kids turns out right. But I said, the thing about it is them kids is not as strong as you are, or at least you think you are. And they might not make it when the big bad wolf comes blowing like you can make it. And I've seen them fall. I've seen the mom and daddy fall too. But sometimes they make it and sometimes the kids don't. You know, it's a bad situation. And it always is when you don't have your house built right. Amen. Because you're building a house. And that's what he says. He says, I liken this unto a man that builds his house right. And I liken this as to a man that don't build his house right. Amen. And so we're not talking about just starting with this foundation being wrong or right. The foundation can even be right. You can be saved and start out with a right foundation and then mess up on the building. Amen? You can mess up on the walls. You can mess up on the roof. You can mess up after you started right. And there's lots of folks that's done that. They've started right, and for some reason, on down through the trail, you know, I guess they get more confident in self. I don't know what all takes place. Maybe they get more confident in self. And maybe the Lord has blessed, you know, for a pretty good while and things has went pretty good. And they figure, well, you know, got it made now. But then the first thing you know, around the corner comes the big bad wolf. And he's blowing. Amen. And he's got his lungs all, they're ready to go. One thing about it, he seemingly is never sick. He's never bedfast. He's never down. He's always up. But it's the little piggies and the sheep that's got the problems. Amen. And you better have something stout around you. You better have your battlements up, as like the Old Testament teaches. You better have them strong around you, or you're going to be in trouble. Amen? Because the big bad wolf is coming. And especially you folks that's got children, raising children, you're more susceptible than the rest of us that's already had our problems. Amen? And you better be careful how you're building your house. Because on down the road somewhere, if you're teaching them the wrong thing now, and you're not necessarily trying to teach them wrong thing. Oh, no, I know that. I know you're wanting to teach them right, and you're trying to teach them right as far as you're concerned. But they see more out of you than they hear what you say. Amen? They see how you pray. They see how you read the Bibles. They see how faithful you are to God. They see these things. Oh, they don't say nothing about it. But after a while, that rotten place in there somewhere will eventually show up and come out. And when the big bad wolf starts blowing, the weakest place in there is what's going to break. And it may be the little daughter or the little son or something like that. It may be what breaks. Amen? But the big bad wolf, he's on the job. Amen? So just a little nursery rhyme this morning. The two piggies and the big bad wolf. You know the wolf's coming. You've heard the message. Your reaction to it is up to you. The results is up to you and the Lord. Amen. What you do with it, how you react, how the thing turns out at the end. Amen. Would you bow your heads? If you need to come and pray about anything, well, you come while I get a song. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us this morning, Lord. I pray that you'll take the message and use it for your honor and glory. Pray, dear Lord, that each one here has received something out of it that will help them to be a better builder. I realize, Lord, we're not talking about salvation, building a place to get to heaven or anything, but we're talking about the building of our life here to where our life can stand sturdy and strong for you. That's the building that we're dealing with, and I hope everyone understands that. And it's important how they build in this life. It's important how they live. It's important what they do after they get saved. And I pray each one, Lord, will realize that and strengthen themselves through you like David strengthened himself in the Lord. So I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll touch hearts that is needed today. And Lord, of course, if there's one here that's lost and they're not even on the rock, they're not on the solid foundation, they're on the sand, they're going to sink. I pray, Lord, they'll realize that, trust you as their Savior. We'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand if you will. You need to come and pray while you come while we sing.